This then leads me to start wondering what all of this will mean for the sale of this book you're now listening to. So I go up to New York and address the sales force of my publisher, Farrar, Straus & Giroux, and I'm seated next to Mark Gates, one of the company's top sales reps. We start talking about the book business, and Gates is clearly upset. Why? I ask him. He tells me the following story. I just went into Brooks Brothers to look for a new suit. So I go into the suit department, and I see on one of the tables a stack of Michael Jordan's latest book, For the Love of the Game. It's on sale in the Brooks Brothers men's department, displayed on a pile of suits. So I go over to the salesman and say to him, "You're not a bookstore. How would you like it if I told my bookstores they should start selling suits?" He laughed. He was a little embarrassed. But then he says to me, "Have you looked at your electricity bill lately? Consolidated Edison has a special on for the Christmas holidays. They're offering the Jordan book at 40% off, and you can just charge it on your electric bill, and they will mail it to you." "I got really depressed," said Mark. "I'm 46 years old. I don't plan to retire for 19 years, but I'm asking myself now whether I will have any accounts in 19 years. In my heart of hearts, I don't think so. All the lines are getting blurred now." Mark Gates is right. The lines are getting blurred. Cisco Systems is one of the companies who's helping to blur them. Cisco makes the black boxes that connect the internet around the world. And in just a few years, it has become one of the most important companies in America. But even Cisco is not immune to the realities of the new global market, the death of time and distance, the continuing erosion of protective barriers. John Chambers, president of Cisco, puts it this way: if you don't have your fingers on your customer's pulse all the time, your customer will go somewhere else with the click of a mouse. Or if you miss the market for your product, in 2 years your whole company can be gone, or your whole business can be turned into a commodity. And even if you have your finger on the pulse, if you don't make decisions quickly enough, you can be wiped out. No wonder, then, that the first to get hit with microchip immune deficiency in this era were the most top-heavy, overweight, slow systems like the Soviet Union and IBM. Next to catch the virus were the next closest things to Soviet central planning, the heavily state-controlled economies of Latin America, the most bloated welfare systems of Canada and Western Europe, and the most overly centralized, slow-moving corporations of North America. By the late 1990s, the virus of microchip immune deficiency had spread to Asia and struck the top-heavy, state-directed economies of Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, China, and even South Korea and Japan. Deputy Treasury Secretary Larry Summers once told me, "I always felt that it was surely no accident that communism, central planning ministries, and corporate conglomerates all ran into great difficulties in the same era, because with the PC and the microchip, it became much more efficient to empower individuals who could get more information and make more decisions themselves rather than having a single person at the top trying to direct everything."